We are moving forward. We are moving forward with early morning scoop, especially as I indicated that today we'll be joined by a young doctor, a young dentist, that is Franz Emmanuel, and just to speak about the medical fraternity, especially when you speak about young professionals, and also to motivate you. And we choose this topic, intentionally, especially at the beginning of the year. And we have those who would want to continue in the field of medicine, in the field of dentistry, and also those who want to achieve what is in their dreams. But to look at the challenges and also opportunities of young medical professionals. And let us welcome Franz Emmanuel, this aspect. Franz, good morning. Good morning, doctor, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop. How are you doing?
Good morning, David Schulte.
It's
a pleasure to
be here. Yeah, not hearing you properly, and may you please speak up.
Good morning, Master David Schulte. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, maybe just before we go to young professionals within the medical fraternity, maybe just to give us a short background. How did you get here? How did you become a dentist? How was the journey? Just in short time.
Okay. How I became a dentist, I studied, but yeah, most importantly, it was the first of basically getting into high school.
Yeah.
A clearer vision and setting my expected career outcomes early on.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was about grade 10 where I truly decided I wanted to be in health. Dentistry specifically wasn't a clear objective, but I think it got refined as time progressed.
Mm-hmm.
But grade 12 studied, the result showed. I applied and I was accepted.
Mm-hmm. Now, how can professionals in medicine how can professionals in medicine contribute to the improvement of Namibia health system or strengthening Namibia health system, particularly Namibia trained doctors, Namibia trained nurses, Namibia trained medical practitioners?
I think for one and for starters, Namibian health and Namibian trained practitioners are truly the backbone of the health setting existence in Namibia.
Mm.
These are individuals who are able to relate to the Namibian population, be it when you speak of languages,
mm.
Of knowing what your people need. So these are one of the ways that individuals in health really contribute to the growth of the system.
Mm.
So I believe one of the biggest opportunities we have when it comes to this is really just a chance to shape the healthcare setting, young professionals with a fresh, basically perspective, and I'll spend more comfortable with new technologies and innovative approaches. So when we speak of doctor training, doctors are trained based on the demographics of which they are. So if a doctor studies in Russia, they are trained based on the conditions that are usually more common in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
A doctor is trained in Southern Africa, they are trained based on the conditions as well as diseases that are more likely to present in the population that is in that given demographic.
Mm-hmm. So
is trained based on what the population in Namibia is more likely to succumb to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So demographic play a role when it comes to what is coming to training of medical professionals.
Very much.
Yeah, when we are there, how do they integrate now to say somebody is trained in Ukraine, somebody is trained in Russia or China? How do they integrate that into the Namibian, medical system? How do you find it, especially working with people from various regions? Are there things that you agree on, or are there things that you learn from each other, or are there things that you think this one is not what we were taught?
That's a very smart question. But yeah, when it comes to doctors training outside, one of the things I've noticed is we have what you call a board test.
Mm-hmm.
A doctor that studies outside, and they come to Namibia, they write something called a board test.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we have that in place, one, is just to make sure that the training they received outside is what we expect the doctors to deliver in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, doctors are trained, there is a curriculum that they follow.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they are trained based on demographics,
mm-hmm.
they have to learn anatomy,
mm-hmm.
they have to learn physiology.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a baseline of a lot of things. I think it usually just comes to clinical years,
mm-hmm.
where we deviate a bit, but the deviation is disease-centered.
Mm-hmm.
They usually just integrate into the system,
mm-hmm.
by making sure that they study what is expected locally,
mm-hmm.
and just truly familiarizing themselves with the expected outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Now let us look at. I'm always interested in research and the development through your study as a young doctor, as a dentistry. Or as a dentist to say, through your experience now, what is the strength of Namibia medical research compared to other countries when you look at that aspect? What is new in the area of dentistry that was never done in the past 20 years?
When you speak of research, when you speak of research, there are still areas that can be defined when it comes to the Namibian medical research industry.
Mm.
But medically, there has been a lot of research done in the past.
Mm.
Things like HIV, things like malaria.
Mm.
But we still, at a very much baseline
mm-hmm.
when it's research in non-communicable diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for dentistry to be specific, I think a lot of research still has to be done. What is new usually comes with new graduates. You know, as a dental final year student, you're expected to do research in any field.
Mm.
It could be endodontics, it could be something like periodontics, and these are basically just diseases of the mouth.
Mm.
It could be anywhere around restoration. And should you therefore now want to continue, you can publish your research.
Mm.
But yeah, they still need for more advanced and basically funding for research in Namibia.
Mm-hmm. Now, let us look at the challenges because everybody at high school, our parents advise us to become doctors, to become lawyers, to become engineers. To become those big guys, but it's not an easy thing, and those who make it through that platform, they make it like effortlessly. Maybe to share, especially when we're at the beginning of the year, those who want to follow in the step of medicine, either is being a medical doctor or being a dentist. What are some of the main challenges that a student at School of Medicine go through? What are some of the challenges that you have faced as a student and also as a young professionals before we go to opportunities?
I think the challenge starts before you get in.
Okay.
Yeah. For starters, if you want to be a dentist, you have to know that dentistry takes about 3 people per region.
Mm-hmm.
Max, that's a total of 20 students intake, or 21. That could also amount to 22.
Okay.
If you want to pursue medicine, you have to be part of the top 6 to top 7 individuals that are selected per region.
Mm-hmm.
So in as much as there are expectations, which is a B in English, a C in English,
mm.
B in biology, a B in mathematics, and a C physics and chemistry. I think we still have to be competitive enough to get in. That's already the first challenge. The other challenge is staying in medicine or dentistry. Yeah. When it comes to that, you basically have to realize that the career is demanding. And I think it's important to be honest from the start to say that they require strong performance in science, yes, but more importantly, they require consistency, discipline, and the ability to learn over long periods of time. You learn to approach complex problems calmly, to make decisions with complete information, to take responsibility even when the outcomes are uncertain.
I want to ask the aspect of being competitive. What is your experience in people being knocked out? We see when you go to university, sometimes you start with a lecture hall full of 100 people. By the time you're at the third year, you're only maybe 30. Did you experience that also?
Not precisely. When it comes to medicine and dentistry, I think these are one of the most committed individuals we have. And the rate is probably 1 to about 5 students. But in personal intake, which is dentistry, we did not have any of the dropouts.
So which means that they choose the top guys now. Maybe just there, I know this is not your area. What about somebody, because you find not really to say academically gifted person, but you have a resilient person who want to advance. Let me say somebody was a nurse or is a nurse and said this person want to go to the next stage, not to study academically to become maybe with a PhD in public health, but I want to go to medicine. I'm a nurse. I want to go to medicine. Is there any special treatment to somebody from the field who want to enter in that competitive environment?
With UNAM, I think there's something called mature age entry. They just look at the majors and how they can equate that syllabus and what is expected from the student. So I would highly advise that they apply, and the information is basically available on the UNAM website on mature age entry. Most of them that I've seen, that transitioned from, let me say, nursing to becoming a medical doctor, are individuals that applied abroad. They made it.
Okay, now let us look at opportunities, because not only to look at challenges, let us look at opportunities. What are the opportunities out there for Namibian medical professionals in Namibia and outside? Because we are speaking about Vision 2030, where we are not going to depend more on the outside, but we have our own engineers, we have our own doctors, we have our own advocates, we have our own, pilots and all those things. But what are the opportunities out there to fine-tune their careers and also to make them better professionals, not only in Namibia, maybe in the region?
Yeah, I think the biggest opportunity we have that is not precisely advancing career related would be opportunity to really shape the future of healthcare in Namibia. It's an opportunity. I think professionals with fresh perspectives are usually more comfortable with technologies and innovative approaches. That means young professionals can lead the way in bringing digital health solutions, basically making the system more efficient. When we speak of career growth, these very individuals, usually when it comes to specializing in Namibia, they can be slightly challenging. It's challenging in the sense that you need a lot of funding to be specialized. And what ends up happening is we only specialize in South Africa, right? And most individuals who tend to specialize are individuals who are sent by the government to go specialize in the specific fields based on the sustainable development goals and what is expected in health. So if you see there's a loophole, for example, oral maxillofacial surgery, when you speak of dentistry, the government would technically send one or two people to specialize in that field to make sure that the Namibian population is served in those aspects. Mm-hmm. So those are among the opportunities that an individual in health has, and that they can fair use.
Mm-hmm. Now, just before we come to the conclusion, if you have to give an open advice to government, especially related to health issues, either I want you to have option, either is to advise in terms of upgrading education at medical school or within the health system. What best advice can you give the government, especially in terms of improving the Namibia health fraternity?
I think the government has done a lot of justice in the Namibian health fraternity. And we have to understand, I think when we give advice, we really have to be cautious of the advancements that are already in place, that are set. Yeah, the advice, I think, would be to maybe have integrated systems. Yeah, that enable and makes it easier for more Namibian trained doctors, or let me say Namibian doctors, to specialize. And yeah, maybe just a look at the opportunities and how we can really make sure that we have doctors delivering the best healthcare system as possible. Because I believe systems don't really fail because we have few doctors. I believe they fail because we fail the doctors we train. But we can really look at ways of advancing them professionally, strategically. I think that can pose as the biggest advantage that we have later in.
Yeah, maybe the last question, maybe just to give input, maybe point of encouragement to those who are saying, no, I'm very competitive and I want to enter that field of medicine, especially to first year fresh graduates, students from high school with really good points, and just a word of advice, because I always like giving advice, especially to first year university students, because to me, I thought the experience at university was not the same. It's a bit challenging. It's a new environment, and not everybody can make it. Maybe what is your 2 second advice to first year students in that medical fraternity, and what do they need to look up to make sure that at the end of the day they don't regret their decision and they make it until the last line.
The first one, I always say, I think this is by Hippocrates. He said, wherever the art of medicine is loved, there is also a love for humanity. You can't separate. So if serving humanity is the best of your optimal abilities, is really, really something that you'd want to peruse. This is not about salaries, because the money you have, you might not have the time to spend. If serving humanity is really one of your greatest advantages. You're in the right, field. But yeah, for learners who are motivated by quick rewards, this path can feel slow. For those who are motivated by long-term impact, I think it's deeply fulfilling. Yeah, medicine and dentistry, these are professions that you have to study over long periods of time. Like time, dentistry is 5 years, medicine is 6 years. You have to know that these professions reward patience, reward structure, and you really have to delay your gratification.
Okay. For Franz Emmanuel, or Dr. Franz Emmanuel, thank you very much for your time. And I know you are very busy. And thank you for input and also sharing your insight with our listeners.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. That was Dr. Franz Emmanuel. He's a dentist, a young dentist, and he shared his input, shared his views, especially when it's coming to the field of medicine. And the last point is very strong that he mentioned to say, when it comes to the field of medicine, these are careers that reward, patients, and also there's a long-term impact. And also you need what you call delayed gratification. There are things that there's one discussion that I'm always having to say, look, there's no crime of getting rich slowly. There's no crime of getting rich slowly, because if you get everything that you want today, you go crazy because tomorrow you will not have anything. There's always this dream that don't come true when young people are saying, I want to have all the millions in the world tomorrow. Then you get married to the most beautiful ladies, most beautiful lady in the world. You start, getting everything that you want and travel the whole world. You become arrogant. You become, you will not become a human being. And that's why there is this thing of delayed gratification. They say to say, don't pray to get everything that you want in a day, because you don't know what we'll do tomorrow. That's why it's something that we really need to be taught, especially young people, to say, let's have patience, and also let us be long-term thinkers, not only to think about tomorrow, or not to think about what a person has, but you don't know the background of this person, to say, teach you patience, teach you long-term thinking, and to say, if you have to be committed for 6 years or 7 years studying, even eight, that can also shape your character, to say good things, they don't come, within days. And also one of the things that is mentioned is area which need to be improved. And also to say we don't really, the system is not filled by doctor. It's when we fail doctor that we train. That's why it's quite very important also to have our own trained professionals, and who specialize in various fields. That's why from there, when we have our own professionals, when we advance the research, then we can also be able to say, when it comes to medication that we use, then we cannot say, no, this one we are not going to use it. We are going to use the one that we have produced, and we have power to do that. That's why one of the things, and I'm always giving a reference to Cuba, go and read case studies on not only medical journals in Cuba, but case studies on public health, to say Cuba have managed to produce thousands and thousands of doctors. And in Cuba, a medical doctor is service. It's like a teacher, is service. It's not about money, is service. When you're a medical doctor, is service. And they really did well, regardless of their trade sanctions. They manage to stand on their own because they use medical doctor in terms of trade. Look at what has happened in other countries. But yeah, that is the conversation. That is the conversation. However, you can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401, so that you can air your view. You ask your question, you give your contribution, because it's the beginning of the year, and your discussion can shape the future of Namibia academia, and your discussion can also shape the future of Namibian professionals. And do not forget that the Villager newspaper for Monday is out, and we are also going to go through the Villager newspaper. That is our own e-paper that is on economy, on politics, on food security, on trade, and also on sport. And interestingly, also some of the sales and also advertisement, especially when it comes to those institutions and also businesses that advertise with the Villager newspaper. And make sure that you subscribe, you like, and you read the content and context of the Villager newspaper, so that you will not miss out, especially on things that matters, on things that affect our bread and butter. So let us look at a short commercial break, Then we'll look at what is happening continentally, and from there we'll expand the conversation and also look at what is in the Villager newspaper for the 12th of January 2026, and what are the economic news all about, and also when it comes to food security, where is Namibia standing. So stay tuned, we are here until the hour of 8.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and
Inuit. Want to know
staff.
About Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager. Wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are continuing. We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and from Dr. Franz Emmanuel. Let us look at what is happening in the continent of Africa and what is happening in the world. Let us start with Iran. There is ongoing, protest in Iran, and there is a nationwide protest in Iran. This entered the third week, and there are also talks, especially from the U.S. government, of intervening. However, the Iran authority, or the authority in Iran, has warned that any movement of the United States of America, they will respond, and it has also been stated by the U.S. President Donald Trump that he threatened to intervene to protect demonstrators amid deadly crackdown by the security force there in Iran. And the Speaker of Parliament of Iran, that is Mohammed Bakweh, warned that Israel, along with U.S. military and shipping center in the region, would become a legitimate target. And, there have been a lot of things happening. And, it also stated that the human rights group indicate that around 116 people have been killed during the crackdown between Iran authority and also the demonstrators. And you must be able to understand that, you know, the governance and the structure of Iran is based on Islamic religion. And it's based on Islamic religion. And their governance structure is very interesting. It's very interesting to that extent that you have parliament, you have the executive, and on top of the executive, then you have also the religious authority that is under the leadership of the supreme leader, that is Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, and it's a well-known figure in Arab or in the Middle East politics, and must not be able to understand that the structure of Iranian governance is made to that extent that it's very difficult also to take out the leader, because apart from the president, you also have the supreme leader who has authority or supreme authority, and he can make final decisions, and even the decision of declaring war, it has to come from the supreme leader. And it did not just start recently. It started when, after Islamic Revolution in 1979, when Ayatollah Khomeini came to power. But what is very interesting is also that even within the military structure of the Iran, it's also very difficult to overthrow the state from within, because there is what we call the Revolutionary Guard, which are special elite military personnel that they are trained, and the aim of their training is nothing other than to protect the authority, or to protect the regime, especially the Islamic religion. And what is interesting is also that, you know, Iran has been a main force in the Arab world, and the fall of Iran will also be the fall of many supreme power. But on the other side, you can also see that in the weekend, over 100 of military sites in Ukraine were targeted by Russia. And you are just asking yourself, because the UN is also about to host an emergency meeting on the case of Ukraine. And you are also asking yourself to say, who is going to be the main voice at UN Security Council if the main superpower are involved in the war? And who is going to be having the voice there if the United Nations itself is also experiencing lack of fundings? Because last week you'll be able to understand that the U.S. president gave an order for U.S. to withdraw from many agencies, around 18 bodies in total, which is also including many United Nations agencies. And being one of the main funders of United Nations, the future of geopolitics is in limbo. The future of geopolitics is in limbo. That is why it's always crucial. It's always crucial to make sure that when it comes to the aspect of international affairs, let smaller nations prioritize also their interest, which is development. Let us also not be caught into bigger fights, because we have less to nothing to gain. We must focus in local and domestic development before we look at global affairs. But it's a very interesting news to look into. And it's also happening at a time when BRICS countries are having never military exercise here in South Africa, except the India. Maybe Indian ships are on their way. But you have Brazil, you have Russia, you have China, you have South Africa, you have Iranian ships. We are not speaking about ships for transportation of containers. Speaking about warships, having military exercises in the ocean here, in Cape Town. And analysts are saying it's a show of muscle. Some are saying it's also a show of strength and unity, because in terms of division and alliance in the world, it's actually nothing much have changed since Cold War, because at the end of the day, it's about countries pursuing their national interest. Countries pursuing their national interest. And yeah, the case of migration. The case of migration now. Of migration is now becoming, the order of the day, especially when you look at, Africa, especially Western African countries. Case of migration. It's like, I don't know what's happening in the Gambia. I don't know if it's a good trade route. Because every time in the report of United Nations, African Union, so this interception of people try to reach Europe, maybe it's a good trade route, but it was stated that the Gambian authority intercepts 780 migrants trying to reach Europe. And what I went to look for in Europe? Is it the jobs? Is it the opportunities? Is it peace, or what is happening? And the authority in Gambia said that they have intercepted more than 780 migrants at different locations, all trying to reach Europe via Spain, Canary Island. And among those detained were 233 from Senegal, 197 from the Gambia, and 176 from Guinea, and 148 from Mali. And the operation came just days after another boat capsized off the Gambian coast on New Year Eve, killing more than 30 people. And it's also a question of concern to say, although a lot of people are dying on their way out of Africa, thousands and thousands are still trying to get out of Africa and using dangerous routes. They are not using planes, they are using dangerous routes. And if you have to observe carefully, is to say, if somebody is trying to use these cheap routes to get into Europe, it also means a few things. To say, maybe the person is an illegal immigrant. The other thing is also that the person is not well pocket wise, is not wealthy enough to afford a plane. And the other thing is also that this person is not having a stable finance, is also going to look for income. And in most cases, you also find children. Young people are dying in the sea. And it's a straight message to African leaders to say, what are you doing to your people? Why are you not giving people opportunities so that they can feel comfortable at their houses? And why is it voluntary slavery? And looking at the pictures here, and looking at the videos here, you'll be able to see these are young people that we say we have in Africa. These are young people that we say, we have in Africa. But in this aspect, we'll be able to see that, looking at that ground, young people are trying to leave the continent of Africa. So it's 1 minute past the hour of seven. We are going to look at the short commercial break. Then we'll look at elections about to happen in Uganda. That will be from the 15th day. And we'll be able to see that General Yoweri Museveni, he said he's going to run for the last time who have been in power since 1986. And he's going to face Bobby Wine. And looking at Bobby Wine, he's one of the official opposition leader who suffered. And like, he also not giving up in the politics of Uganda. Politics of Uganda is very interesting. And looking at Yoweri Museveni, who has been in power since 1986, one of the longest serving leaders. But there is something that we should look at when it comes to Museveni. In terms of average, in terms of years, when we look at African leaders, you realize to say Museveni is young. Is it 1 year old? He's young compared to average of African leaders, head of states. He's within the average age. But also looking at that aspect, you can also be able to realize that when he got into power, he was very young. When he got into power, he got into power very young. Because if you look at his pictures and his videos at that time, after the leadership of Idi Amin Dada, and also after the leadership of Dr. Milton Obote, he's been one of the key players there in the jungle of Uganda and the politics of Central and also East Africa. You must be able to remember that he's a man who have trained the president of Rwanda, and there's been an influential political leader, not only president but general there. And if you look at how the politics of Uganda, it's Burundi, Rwanda, and also DRC, you must be able to understand that these are some of the strong men in the African politics. And let's see what will happen on the 15th of January 2026. Is Bobby Wine or General Museveni will take, you know, a lead again? But we'll come to this news after a short commercial break. And, you know, stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 8.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and NRF.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate if it is needed to
be part of the debate. By my response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with early morning scoop with me, David Shombe. 6 minutes past the hour of 7. And this, it's a Monday. It's a beautiful Monday. And everybody's back to work. If you're in various towns in Namibia, even at the village, people are busy. People are busy. Festive season came to an end. And we look at the real business. Let us start with the year, with energy. Start with the year with energy. And also to make sure that we focus on the results rather than focus on challenges. But yeah, looking at Uganda, stated that just days to go. Stated that when you look at the city of Kampala, it's decked out with posters of incumbent president Yoweri Museveni. And there are also concerns from, you know, from opposition parties, because the whole of Uganda is yellow. Of Uganda is yellow. There are posters of General Yoweri Museveni. And, you know, Uganda is expected, you know, it's expected to go to the polls on the 15th of January, and you know, wait what will happen. This is for the first time seeing people campaigning wearing bulletproofs, especially when you look at the opposition leader, that is Bobby Wine, and Yoweri Museveni, apart from age. Apart from age, and also apart from, you know, long time service, within the country, you must also be able to look at, the development, look at, things that he has done, look at his content, look at his standing, and, it's a very interesting thing, because, one may be able to see that, he is, a reasoning person. You cannot win Museveni when it comes to reasoning. Because he's somebody who can bring you on the table. And, one will also be able to see that, when it comes to reasoning, when it's coming to explanation, when it's coming to issue of the economy, you must be able to understand that when it's coming to industrialization, when it's also coming to manufacturing, when you go to Uganda, it's coming to vehicles, especially buses, you'll be able to see that, he was focusing more, not only attracting investment, but also upgrading Ugandan, you know, industries. But, the competition is around the corner. Competition is around the corner. And, a lawyer, Bobby Wine, former musician, former reggae musician, who turned, you know, into politics, able to realize that he is the masses of the young people, the masses of the young people. But one thing about analyzing the African politics is to say, leaders, they also have their stronghold. Person can be there for long, but they have their stronghold. Look at Paul Biya of Cameroon. Everybody thought Paul Biya was going down. But, somebody who is, 93 years old, managed also to win, the elections. And, also, one of the provoking questions that you must be able to ask is that, when somebody get, into the polls, maybe 400 times, is it democracy or not democracy? You need to ask that question. Because before we contest the results, is a person fit in terms of the law to compete in that elections? Because there was a point of debate about Paul Biya, saying, oh, he's old, he has been in power, people speak about corruption and all these things. But one thing that you have to ask, is he qualified Is the law qualified him to compete for election? Yes, he's qualified. Does it mean democracy is only when you are losing, when you are winning and give opportunity to others when they are losing? Or does it mean you have to go through that process? It's a question of debate. Somebody can go to the polls for 200 times and still winning. And they say, no, it's not fair. People don't like you. Maybe they are focusing on African leadership and African philosophies to say the leader is based on wisdom. To say those years when we did not have this official state, a king must be there until the end of time. And if he come to the point he's like sick, not feeling well, there will be an assistant king, not the king. Because as long as he is alive, he is the head of the kingdom. Maybe that is what they are following into. Maybe you need to relook at that aspect to say, what is the contribution of African leadership into that democracy? Are we following everything that we inherited? Or that is what is happening? It's one of the provoking questions that we should also ask ourselves, because when we are saying people are old, can you also do that to those who, can you also question how things have been? Or we are contradicting ourselves? Because according to African leadership, if you were ahead until God pick you up, or until God take you from this world, you are still the head of that crane, that chiefdom, that kingdom. And that's how things have been from that aspect. It's very interesting. It's very interesting to see. And will Museveni accept defeat if he is defeated? I don't think so. Maybe it could be. But, you know, you never know. We never know. And how are things going to be? Because there's quite a lot of expectation. There's quite a lot of expectation from new leaders. But there's also quite a lot of unrealistic expectation too. To say, for example, if the country is in debt, whether you put in a new leader or an old leader, what you need to fix is the system. You need to fix the system. You need to fix the process. And how long is it going to take? Is it going to take? Those are the questions that we need to look into. So let's look at the caller and continue the conversation. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, how are you?
Good.
Yeah.
You know, we have said it many times. Huh?
Come again?
I said it many times.
Yeah.
That the Africans...
Hold on. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, let's continue. Sorry.
I said it once in this platform.
Yeah.
Africans are not democratic.
Mm.
AB is a generation to come, but the old generation, especially those who fought what you people refer to as in the independence.
Yeah.
Those are not democratic people.
Mm.
Because these are leaders who fought, who replaced their kingdom. And they grown up in a kingdom leadership structure. Then because they were enticed by the Europeans and Americans to replace, to get rid of their kingdom.
Yeah.
In exchange of them become president in the 20 minutes and what was.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what makes them not democratic. That's why you want to test.
Uh-huh.
When it comes to election
yeah.
or opposition, then you see They are not democratic. They want to suppress their opponent at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
Because their foundation was not on a democratic. No.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the generation to come, they are going to be democratic because majority of them, they did not grown up or they were not natured in the kingdom structure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So it's a transformation.
It's a transformation.
And it takes time.
And it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why there.
Yeah.
You can, even in Namibia.
No, I agree with you.
These people are not democratic. You see, they were just entitled.
No, maybe to say they have democratic features, not. yeah.
With them, democracy. Or it's only democracy when it benefits them.
So if I ask you, is Namibia a democratic state or is not a democratic state?
Bossa, those are words in the paper.
No, I'm just asking.
Yes?
Is it a democratic or not democratic?
No, Namibia is still using, African, that kind of Ubuntu thing.
Yeah.
But it's just democratic features.
Mm-hmm.
Because democracy is just appear, because democracy in Namibia, it has to do with elections. When you talk of democracy in Namibia, one, it basically refers to elections.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's the end of it. But the competition, because the competition of ideas and the competitions of leaders that who should, that they, we are not there. Because even if you know, because if people are competing for positions, what do you need to be one? That's why you in Namibia, in Africa, you see those character assassinations. You can see, when it comes to policy, you can see that even if there is an individual who are contributing proper to the policies, yes, no, they are not considered. They are still referred as to say,
But that is something that is really putting our country down to say, if I cannot recognize you based on what you are able to do, then I'm not doing justice to my people.
Yeah, because recognition in this country has to do with it's a party thing.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it's attributed to party. You must be a comrade.
Yeah.
That is, because he's the best thing in life.
Yeah.
That's why you say our country, in terms of development, is going down. Why? Even now, we are just taking a step back every day. Because people who have best idea has been already proposed by the people who are not even part of the one. But people overlook them. And that idea will come after 10 years.
Now, sorry to cut you. While you are there, there's something that I was asking myself to say. There is this thing that I'm just observing, especially with African politics, when I'm cornered and I'm forced to form a coalition, is where I have to appoint you as my ministers because of my situation. But sometimes I'm asking myself, do we really have people within opposition in Namibia that cannot become a minister or is part of political party politics, just to say, let me take this person from here. Not really because you are not even forced to form coalition, just to say a person is able to see what will happen or is going to give this person more credit.
We because the thing is like this. People don't want to be seen that they can't think. They don't know. Because politicians and leaders in our society, when they assume, but this is by default in our transition, Unkurutu Tungwa just Girombe almost.
Yeah.
And Unkurutu Ne, we see it also through the position that we hold in the society.
Yeah.
To say, Unkurutu Aruko Ushish.
Yeah.
Ushish. Now, some people don't want to be seen, which I know. So, therefore, when you see that, which I know, the person who are contributing is from party B, and you give him your position in your what, then you don't want to be seen because, aha, Nani, you guys, you don't know. Because next time we are not going to elect you, because the only person who is making contribution is this one.
But sometimes it's just maturity, not really to say, you become a threat to me. If you are able, if you are a technical person and you have experience, why should I be threatened by you?
We are not democratic and we are not ready now. Because if we are democratic, we might not even have those many parties that you are saying, that is, we might not also have a problem to say, like, I'm not threatened by anybody because I have my own quality also. I know where I am. So, threatened by who? No. But you can see people that have been threatened. Have you seen in our society somewhere? They don't want. They are going to suppress those ones because they don't want.
But it's not everyone. You can also find those who say, let me learn. You will find, not everyone, but few of them, you can find them who have thought also beyond that to say, you can't block the water. You give water the space, at least, so that you can also benefit from it. Because sometimes it's not a threat, yeah.
That's why I should say it depends. But you know, when you speak, it's not 100%. We take percentage that are accurate. Because unless we take it, but it's there. But we are saying, what we're supposed to say here is to say, there are people who are fear of other, are intimidated by others. So that's why I say, even at the independence there, when people were coming, one of the challenges that face people, that's why you see some of the people were just eliminated, were just overlooked, is by the fact, which are, where are we going to place this person in independent Namibia? Which position are we going? Because most of the educated people were prosecuted, even in Negra. You can be educated if you are, it was a problem. It was a problem. Because, and it's not the idea. Because the European who gives them this franchise system, they never wanted smart people to run the system. Why? Because they don't want competition, you understand? They want people who to be told what to do. They don't want people to say, look, compare, contrast, to say, what are they saying? What do we know? What are we supposed to do? Surely now, the challenge that we ask and the question that we need to ask ourselves, and that's why you see there is a big conflict in our society. Does the Act of Parliament replace customary law and practice? And if it's so, to what extent?
No, I...
You know why?
Yeah.
You know why? You can say, you can even take any Act of Parliament.
Yeah.
Because even on the land.
Yeah.
Even on the land. You are told that the land belongs to what, but people there in the society, they are saying, AV or Jai, AV does not belong to what? It belongs to the state. Some even say government because they don't know the difference between the state and government. But the land belongs to what? To the king.
Yeah. But that time is the king means the authority, right?
From the beginning, the land belongs to the king. As much as we know, the land belongs to the king. And that is the customary law and the past. Now, when you say now the land belongs to the state, have you constructed the tradition, even the king themselves and the people, so that you say, no, this law can no longer apply because it was blessed by this? Were these people part of that? Now, you even come to inheritance, for instance. Most of Ambo in the family will believe which are the Okanaka Wanaina.
Yeah,
yeah. When it comes to inheritance, to have siguru wakatek, or siguru desmo janyoko, you understand?
Yeah.
You inherit this from your father, your mother's side. It doesn't could, but your father's side has a reason to, or haiku hampe wai. Mara, when people die now, apparently the wife take over everything. She's in charge, no hampo, no god. Mara, wazim bakucha, no siguru wakaro.
Mara, things have changed, right? The law have changed.
No.
Yeah.
Let's say the practice has changed. The practice now is speaking. Then everything now is reserved to the left, to the wife. Mara, kambo yon wa kaya za kaya. You understand? Bondu kukaro kumure zimo.
With
the blessing of the family, and it has nothing to do with the other family.
No,
now, which law must apply there? Like that. But we are saying, when it was the time that you are discussed to say, look, this customary practice, customary law is no longer applied. When it, but the act of parliament, the parliament didn't just sit and come up with that law. But that the king and the traditional people were on the, were consulted. To say so that we all agree to say no, this one can no longer apply. Then, Shombe, the other thing, if I kill you, but the state come up with the law to say, killing or whatever is a wrong against the state. They come arrest you, they put you in prison, in jail, you pay bail, you go out. They
find
you guilty, you go back.
Yeah, but I think that is still happening. You still have to pay the. I think the laws apply the parallel to one another there.
Did you know in the law, for the same offense?
I hear you.
Now we are saying, does now that thing replace what we know? We no longer care because narrow can see right and see that people are no longer paying because. And that benefit from insurance and what is the idea? If you put it less than, but and the kucha, when did we speak to say? Because we don't know, we in this country we don't need two laws, we only need one law. Not customary, not extra parliament.
One thing I know is that. Whatever happened, you have the supreme law because the constitution has also recognized the customary law.
That's why it's in terms of the constitution.
Yeah.
Customary law and customary practice is a fundamental right. It's because it's a constitutional right, it's there.
Yeah.
Act of parliament is also constitutional, it's constitutional because they were made from the constitution. Now, between the two, which one must we follow? That's why we are saying there was no time that we see to say, look, this customary law can no longer practice it. Because we don't need two laws. We only need one law. Because you need both the central government and the customary and the traditional people need to sit and to say, look, when it comes to practice in terms of marriage and inheritance, this is how we used to do it. This is what the other countries are doing. Then we just need to eliminate what we don't want, and we remain what we want. Then we only have one law. Because you see now, if now in terms of like killing, obviously the state will come in and arrest the person. But when you see to say, look, because the state will continue to prosecute that person, whether the family is there or not, you understand?
Yeah.
But when a family is there, it's because the generation understood. Because you never found those people in a community court. Only because people understood. Now, can't you see the conflict there?
I hear you, but from my experience, what I've seen is that, especially from from Wanganjera Traditional Authority. Those laws applied parallel to each other. But there is also some bit of a contradiction to say, no, this guy, they just arrested the person, but I want my things back. Oh, I'm not benefiting anything. And I hear what you are saying. It's not only you. You also find those who are saying, no, me, I did not want this person to be jailed. I just want my things back because I will not get anything from that.
Because customary law and practice apply if they are not inconsistent with the constitution. Now,
the third benefited,
you understand? But also, that customary practice also is beneficial to the business. Which one? There's no contradiction there. But we are saying we don't need two laws in the country, we only need one. The problem is that we never come up as one.
Do you think at the current point that we are now as a country, parliament will start February, ne? I don't know. I think it's around February. Do you think where we are now as a country, are we at the stage where we can sit and iron out those things, or contradiction will still continue in the next 10 years?
Because the central government need to understand, because to say me, we don't need to, the point that I'm trying to make is to say me, we don't need two laws to say this is a case of parliament, this is a customary law. This thing has to merge into one law. You understand? So that the tradition will, to say, this practice, this old practice can no longer work, at this extent here, because it's constitutionally wrong, né? Because it doesn't address human rights. Yeah. You understand? But here, it must continue like this. Because you don't no longer need to say something is committed, one is running to the police. Just imagine, and this is what Minister Sampasa said at some point, to say, look, there are conflicts between succession in the customer. Now you run to court, but you also have traditional court. You see? The way to resolve this is traditionally, but you run to court because we have two options, whether to go to the state or whether to use the central government laws, or you have to use the customary law. It must never be said. You don't need to have two, because we have what has been in existence, and that's what people know. But you come up with laws that they are not.
But were they consulted? Are they still consulted, the traditional leaders? Were they consulted?
Because if they were consulted, we could have started to say, no, this all the practice can no longer work because of ABCD. Now the law is this.
But when you look at the UK, when you look at the British, they have, because they don't have a standing constitution, they have just various parts of, constitution. They still have their customary laws, and the way they are doing it, maybe because they have been doing that for a very long time, there's no contradiction there.
Because for them, they have a need. Because if you know that there is a relationship between kingdomship, monarchy, and that administrative nature, can you see? There is a relationship there. Just imagine this contentious narrative in this society to say there's nothing in this country. You see? But when the constitutional rights say, look, right to Gaza, and also the customary law and there is somebody in the head for mind to say there's nothing in this country. Even when you come with the traditional act or something, you even say that the only chief kings know there's no vanilla in my channel.
Yeah.
But you see that you understand, because we are saying
is that not only the misinterpretation of words, because they look at it maybe from the role to say you own this, but when it comes to that, how we have been to say we have kings, you know, Jumbo, Jasom Kwanirwa, whoever.
To That is what they don't want is a direct association of things to Ongwanila. But when you do, Ongwanila is equivalent to the king in translation.
It's the same thing.
And that is what they don't want.
Oh.
And you know, in a Commonwealth country, there is only one king. And that is what. And I mean, just remember to the Commonwealth, when you are Commonwealth, you cannot have title like king in your country. And that's why you are paying those licenses now. Or is it so easy?
But when you look at South Africa, is Africa not the same? Because we have King Misizulu, King of Abatebo, and King of others. Is that not the same? Or we not supposed to? Or can we not learn from South Africa? They are not threatened. Yeah.
Even us also.
Yeah.
We have a problem of fighting or competing for power. Eh?
Yeah. But in South Africa, they are not threatened. Because
the title king in our society.
Mm.
Carry more weight than this thing that you see there. That is what they don't know.
But why in SA they are not threatened? They still have kings in SA and president.
If you threaten to say there's no king, telling the South African and the Zulus, then they will be killed in that country. Just imagine if the minister of president will go to the special meeting there annually. Good morning, chiefs. What is that? That is the derivation of what? Of people's rights in their culture. The culture does not only have to do with dressing, it has also to do with pattern.
I hear you. Maybe just to wrap up, what is your input based on that? Because we started with democracy, we are at the law now. What do you think need to be done? Because there must be a solution from your opinion. Looking forward
as I said, the question was just to answer the question whether the Act of Parliament will replace customary law and what. If it's so, we are saying now, to what extent? Because on the other hand, it's say we don't even need law, two law, customary law and any Act of Parliament or whatever. You see, the law must be one. Because when we are making law, we need to say, look, this is the old practice, this is the modern, this is how we have to go ahead, then we go. Because constitutional, even the constitution what was created, the kings and the traditional leaders were not consulted, were not Baptist. You can go in that constitution. You will never find any. Who was keeping the interest of what. And that's what we are saying. To say, when the parliament is now going, when we have to review the law and even also the constitution. For me, the constitution is right. There's nothing wrong with the constitution, our constitution. Because it grants all the rights, it denies all the rights.
Yeah.
But the problem started with the act of parliament, with the customary laws. Because this is where we have two laws, you understand? The constitution recognizes everything.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for your contribution.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, we are moving forward with the Early Morning Scoop. That was the interpretation. You know, the issue of the law. It's more than what we see. It's more than what we read. It's complicated. It's complex. It's sophisticated. That's why even the advocates and the senior counsels, when they sit, they can debate for 2 to 3 hours based on the interpretation of the law. And, you know, there's a saying to say what differentiates human beings from animals is ability to make laws and also follow them. And, maybe that will also bring about, the debate, moving forward. And, it's through debate that we can be able to learn, because if something does not provoke you, then your mind is not, triggered to learn. Yes, you can come back. You can call back at 083-288-401. 083-288-401. Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Shombe. How are you?
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
I love that thing what you just said. The human being
Mm.
More rational. than animals.
I did not say that.
No, you didn't say it. You just say that, of course, to differentiate.
Oh, okay.
That's already there.
Okay.
That's already there. So that's what differentiates us from animals.
Yeah.
Human beings. But issues of, you mentioned about BRICS, exercising in South Africa.
Yeah.
I love that.
You love it, ne?
I love it.
So you like war?
Exercising does not mean war. Just to prepare for yourself for those who want to invade and capture the Greenland.
Yeah, because yeah. When you look at the warships of Iran, you look at the warships of China, South Africa, Russia, you see that, you know, India is not here. I don't know why. Maybe they are coming today.
Don't worry, yeah.
Yeah, but that is also something to look into, to say, is it really another exercise or to show that we are also able?
Of course, we have the ability. We might not have it the same way they have it there.
Yeah.
But we are actually building, we are in the process. We are building those institutions, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue I'm more concerned now is on the customary, on the issue that you were just discussing about there.
Yeah.
If you kill somebody,
yeah,
you can also be litigated.
Mm-mm-mm.
So, yeah, so it doesn't mean that you have committed a crime against the state and also against the individual person that you have, you know, you understand, you have injured.
Yeah.
So now you can still pay. So you can go for those criminal issues.
Yeah.
And then you can still be pay for those civil compensation and things like that.
And the elders will still talk.
Yeah, the elders will still talk.
Yeah, the elders have to talk. Yeah.
Even if they say fine, and that is clear actually. There's no conflict in terms of law there. There's no conflict at all. Even the customary law is an act of parliament. It's not that, it doesn't mean that because the traditional, I mean the customary law and all this traditional authority, all those piece of registration, if there are some kind of conflict, then maybe it need to be pointed out so that it can be rectified.
It can be ironed out,
I understand, even if the laws are not codified, it does not mean that they are not in existence, or maybe they are in conflict of each other.
Yeah, because the constitution is the mother of all laws. Anything can be applied under that constitution, but not in contradiction with the constitution, right?
Exactly, the constitutional law.
Yeah.
Is clear.
The supreme law.
The criminal law.
No, the constitution. The constitution is the supreme.
Yes, supreme. But all of them must be in line with that constitutional law. So now, I don't see any contradiction. Because, for example, the
No, because the caller is saying the concern is based on its interpretation and also the application of those laws. Because, he feel like the state... he has more laws than customary, if I have to put it that way.
It's not like that.
The more power is within the state authorities, particularly in terms of prosecutions rather than a traditional authority. Because if I take if you did something to me or you insult me, then I take you to a traditional court, you will not really feel the weight just because you look at it to say, no, me, I'll go to the high court or to the court. It's like somebody who saw somebody and somebody who said somebody insulted me on social media. I need 5 goats and 20 chicken. And in terms of that,
you can institute that one and then you get compensated. It's not a problem.
Yeah, but in terms of enforcement, a person will still run away until get an official letter from a judicial officer.
It's not a problem. Is that a big problem? Get that one. It's not an issue.
But is it not taking power from traditional courts?
Not at all. So the traditional courts can still have their own. And that person can be still be charged there. The traditional court can still come in and say, yes, pay this, that, how many kettles because of the ice, because of the blood, because of whatever.
But can we also maybe modernize traditional court, because things, people have transformed. If you look at Britain, things are transformed. Can we also modernize it to that extent that we also have specialists in customary law? And when I'm called to a traditional court, I can also have my lawyer to interpret my case. So can we modernize them too?
Of course, you can. It's not a problem. Uh-huh. You can do that.
Uh-huh.
So as long as you see that there is this issue, which is seem to be contradiction with the what that's what you have said, you can still be shoot, you can still apply that thing, you can interpret it. The problem is the interpretation of those issues.
Yeah.
That also become a big problem. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, there is no really an issue that can prevent you not to institute litigation in that area. There are people who have committed murder, for example, but they can still be charged with the payment of those costs. You can, the person goes there, you can still institute that. Those offenses can still be compensated through traditional customer law. So for me, I fail to understand why that even if those pieces of registration are different and they deal with different issues, but all of them, if there is somewhere where there is conflict, in those piece of registration. That's maybe where you now come in and say, yes, we can now, just like in many other areas were really unified. So if, for example, I wanted to say something but it's just trying to skip my mind. So give an example of the magistrate laws and the advocate and all these other things. People are still unifying those things. There's no, this, of course, I know there are other pieces of registration, statutory provision that are perhaps not codified, which might be done away so that you can reduce and have a very smooth, smooth learning of the law, the application of the law. It has happened and it can happen. That's why sometimes even if you commit a crime and there is no, perhaps a law there, people can also still apply different registration, which can also put you in the same basket. Yeah, so
because do you know that the judge has is a lawmaker also. The judge can apply his mind, and if there is no piece of law that fit your situation, because there's always a unique case anyway.
Yes, yes,
yeah, there's
yes,
always
laws.
A unique case, because if I give you an example of, was it the 2020 case of, I think it's Dr. Itura versus ECN and many other, during that EV thing. Because the history of law, even if you go to the Romans, there was nothing like EV. What machine, but the judge, there has to apply his mind to say from today on, nothing, there's no use of EV machines without paper trail. And that judgment on its own, I think it becomes a law to say whoever is going to come into that aspect. Because
the judge, the court have got a very major, significant function on that thing, because many a times those case laws are the ones that are applied. So if, for example, and it is part of, if Parliament, for example, has passed a law, and we now feel that, yes, this law is perhaps not sufficient or in conflict or whatever, and the court will now come and say, fine, with reference to this, though the act was passed in Parliament, promulgated in Parliament, promulgated by the President now, it can still be applicable. And if the law or the judge feel that, yes, this one need to be amended to be in line with that one, especially case law, they are very, very important. I mean, because this is what we now need, because the interpretation is made clear there that, yes, this is what it should be. So the traditional ones, I do not understand, because they are acts. They are also functioning or performing their duty based on that customer law that's enacted, which is also an act of parliament. So the case law, the judge, you know, the judge really play a major roles. I mean, major role, is it major roles? Function.
Yeah.
So I don't see any, of course, there are legislation which are sometimes in conflict, especially in the traditional law, of course, I understand. But you may need to convince the judge that, yes, this one applies under this particular law.
All right.
I don't see any confusion there.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah? Oh, we are done, eh?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for your contribution. We are almost at the end of our conversation, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, Devin Shombe. It's 53 minutes past the hour of 7, and let us look at the Villager newspaper. When you look on top of the Villager newspaper, for today, it is stated that Namibia's saving is above half a trillion. And it's not million, it's not the billion, it's trillion. You understand what I mean? Namibia savings above half a trillion. That is over 500,000 billions. They stated that the asset of non-banking financial institution are tricking above half a trillion, reaching 528.2 billion. As the end of the third quarter of 2025, that is according to NAMFISA. And looking at that aspect, the non-banking financial institutions, this includes insurance, medical aid funds, retirement funds, Friedrich Society, capital market, micro lending. And most of these countries' assets are country savings, which are used as capital for investment in various projects, equity, and also into government bonds as part of domestic direct investment. We are standing at more than half, more than half trillion. Now, when you look at page 3 of the Villager newspaper, there's an article by Anakreta Ikela that is indicating that mutete remains a staple crop for Kavango household to say. Mutete remains one of the main household crops for Kavango. We speak about mutete biscuits continue to play a vital role in household food security in Kavango. So you understand that one of the most fertile regions is Kavango East and West. Looking at Kavango East, it's a region with many green schemes in Namibia. And mutete stated to be, continue to be one of the main staple, crop. Now, looking at page 4, you'll be able to realize that stated that lower domestic slaughter threaten global market share. To say, if Namibia continue to have lower domestic slaughtering of cattle, this threaten domestic market, is slaughtering down by 28.1%. What is happening? Are there not enough cattle? What have happened when it's coming to live stock products? What have happened? We need to remove the red line so that we can all compete for the global market. What is really the issue? Yeah, and looking at Staff Reporter, diamond production fell monthly in the area. Say when it's coming to diamond, if you have your diamond within a private, because nobody allowed to own a diamond personally, actually. What am I saying? If you have a diamond as a business individual, realize that the value of diamond continue to go down. The value of diamond continue to go down. And it's a matter of concern, and not only to the industry, but also to those diamond traders. And from tourism sector, Staff Reporter also, the Villager newspaper, to say Namibia reaffirm commitment to protect its visitors, get opportunity, and read that content. And yeah, looking at an article by my colleague Lois Shimi, that is looking at Emerging Market Association of Namibia, to say Emerging Market Association, Emerging Mining Association of Namibia. Advocate for local geological and certification services, get an opportunity and read that content to say what are the emerging miners or small scale miners are saying, and want to be able to get context regarding 2026 Nedbank WPP series kickoff. That is the race of cyclists, especially those who are best at using their legs, especially in competition of using bicycles. Get content and read that aspect of sport. And as we always give you page 7, you have a page of International University of Management. I am a proud IUM product, that is Shapo Arusia. Read the story of Shapo Arusia, a teacher from International University of Management. Say International University of Management continue to produce quality educators, and read the page of the IUM at the Villager newspaper, that is page 7, to say when we speak about Shapo Arusia, what is his story? How did he came about? What did she study? And where is she teaching? And these are the people that we need, especially at the beginning of the year when they are educating our battles of joy. Now, looking at page 8, there is advertisement by Vumanbrock. Vumanbrock continue to give you special advertisement. We'll speak about real good chicken at $79.99. That is 1.5 kg. Speak about mayonnaise of 750 grams at $37.99. Then speak about farmhouse ice cream. That's 1.8 liter at $49.99. And also have knickknacks. It's the beginning of the year. At Baylor knickknacks of 50 times 20 grams of $57.99. And let's look at the caller. Just 1 minute. Good morning.
Oh, let me go to that 40 seconds.
Yeah, because we are moving just well, okay?
Yeah. So, what, you know, listen, the $1 trillion that you're talking about, the saving, it's not, that's not good enough, because we just paid our debt off, and then we have saved those ones now, big money, which is going to be invested within our domestic market.
No, no, no. This is not actually it's not your money. Apart from money for micro lenders, this is money for insurance company, money for retirement funds. It's not banking financial institution money.
Yes, which can also be used within our domestic market.
Yeah, it can be used within our domestic market, but who own insurance companies in Namibia?
That's why there was a directive that yes, we need to create ours, and even the money that is owned or generated through insurance must remain here also to be invested instead of now going to South Africa or wherever to be invested there.
Okay.
So it's a piece of registration that is required immediately and have to do that.
All right.
Good.
Okay, thank you. But we need a piece of registration immediately and effectively. Is it our money? Yes, part of it is ours. But thank you. And I'm going to leave you in the good hands of the Big Mike to unpack the day from me, David Shombe. Bye-bye. See you around. And sharp.